In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We heard a mystery in the gospel of Jesus' death today. God had forsaken God, abandoned him. The Father abandoned his Son. Scripture proclaims this. We can't fathom the depths of this truth revealed to us. Thus, it's a mystery. There are many of these mysteries in Scripture, since God is so beyond our understanding, and also because of our corruption by sin. Still, He reveals these truths that we can never fully comprehend as things to trust. We can trust as things are true, even if we cannot fully understand them. That the Father forsook his Son is a mystery. That's one part. What about the other part? What about the fact that the Son, Jesus, entrusted himself to that same Father, fully knowing that he had forsaken him? Both of these words were confessed by Jesus on the cross. We heard in Matthew, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in Luke, it's recorded, into your hands I commit my spirit. He said both of those things on the cross. The first comes from Psalm 22. And the second comes from Psalm 31. It is this 31st Psalm that gives you and I a picture of this mystery revealed on the cross. How can Jesus entrust himself to the Father who has forsaken him? In the Psalm, we sang it just a little bit ago, it goes back and forth between pleas for help, professions of faith, and praise to God. From plea to profession to praise and back again, there seems to be no consistency. He's all over the place, not sure where he stands before God. Is he redeemed or not? Is he loved or abandoned? This experience of both the favor and the curse from God is revealed in Jesus Christ. So this psalm is a psalm of Christ in his suffering and death. Because he's both the beloved Son of the Father and also the bearer of all sin and the drinker of the Father's cup of wrath. He is beloved and loathed at the same time. Jesus pours out his heart in prayer and pleas, but at the same time goes willingly unto death. Willingly, he gives up his own spirit when the wrath of God against sin has been quenched. It is this contradiction. That's the experience of the Christian before the resurrection of the body to eternal life. For one part, you know the facts. You know he's redeemed you. He's bought you back from sin, death, and the power of the devil with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. You know the fact that he's baptized you into his death, and so you will rise from the dead. He's put his name on you so that all he has is yours. He's not only kept you alive up to this point, but has surprised you with abundant blessings in body and soul. You know there's so much to be thankful for. Your belly is full. You have clothes on your back. You have people to love and those who love you. You also know the facts. that he's flat out hidden his goodness from you from time to time. Sorrow has struck you down, your strength has failed you, and your bones ache. Those you've loved have died before you were ready. Your friends and neighbors have spoken and believed lies about you. You've been betrayed. The Lord's hand has been heavy upon you. His face has been turned from you. Yes, indeed, you have been forsaken by your Father in heaven. I know you remember times when you've been in pain. He's looked upon you and you've received no comfort. For the goodness of God was hidden behind that experience of sin. In this contradiction of the Christian life, remember what we heard. Remember Christ before Pilate. Remember Christ being scourged and no one speaking up for him. Remember his friends standing far off, even denying that they knew him. Remember his innocence. Remember the cruel mockery and shame he experienced. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, was not experiencing the goodness of God. He was hidden under the Father's wrath. This, dear Christians, is the nature of trust. It is in the things unseen, unfelt. Saving faith is trusting in the goodness of God, hidden under the experience of sin, death, and yes, even his own wrath. Trusting in the nature of God against whatever you're experiencing in the world. For saving faith depended only on what you saw, what you felt, what you tasted, or otherwise experienced, it wouldn't actually be trust in God, would it? You would be trusting yourself and not something outside of yourself, something beyond you. Here's a couple examples from Holy Scripture. The first is a father whose child was afflicted by a demon. So he comes first to the disciples to help, and they couldn't. So he comes to Jesus for help. He kind of puts it under his tongue. He says, you know, if you can. And Jesus responds that all things are possible for one who believes. To which the father cries out, saying, I believe, help my unbelief. This father knew the gift of God, and he knew the good confession of faith that he had made. He brought his son to him. He was asking for mercy, but this man also knew his own flesh and that inclination, that tendency towards sin in every thought, word, and deed. He knew it was only on the mercy of God that he would receive any help. He trusted in the goodness of God and not in himself or in the evil that his child was experiencing. The mercy of God alone would determine what would happen next. This contradiction of the favor and the curse of God at the same time in our experience as Christians, exactly, is also found in the Apostle Paul. You know, like the author of the Psalms, Paul is often uncomfortably honest, brutally honest, about his own struggles. You see this in the letter that he writes to the Romans, the church at Rome. In the 7th chapter, he describes this war in his soul. He says this, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, trust. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. You hear that struggle between that which he knows and believes and that which he experiences? His mind or heart trusts and delights in the word of the Lord. But his flesh, his sinful nature, serves and delights in itself. He is at the same time captive to sin and free in Christ. This is the struggle that you and I have before the resurrection of the body to eternal life. And this is what Christ took upon himself and demonstrated in his suffering and death. He went before us in strength and perfect faith, that we can endure the same temptations, yet in his strength and not our own. When we hear and consider our Lord Jesus' passion, his suffering this week, finding that a refuge and not just a time for weeping about the horror of life, about the horror of sin, but finding that a refuge, a hope in this contradiction that we live. Find the words of hope in Psalm 31 that Jesus used. In your experience of God's goodness hidden, hold on to what you do know. You know, that psalm actually repeats a lot of the same language found throughout the Psalms and the prophets. Very little of it is unique to that psalm. That's a good lesson for you and me. Stick to familiar words of the eternal goodness of God in Christ. Take refuge in the soothing phrases of beloved prayers. Take the words of the liturgy unto your lips, that which we sing together as Christians on Sundays. Sing the hymns and comfort of joy that you know. For Christians, when you're starving for comfort in the gospel, don't eat frosting, eat meat and potatoes. Those things that will serve you and strengthen you on the road ahead. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. For though he suffered all, he endured it to the end. He rose from the dead to put an end to death. And when he appears again in the flesh, you will finally experience what you believe and what you hope for. You will live in the goodness of God everlasting. There will be nothing hidden anymore. The cross of grief and shame will pass away with the empty tomb and the new heavens and the new earth. Be strong and let your heart take courage, Christians, all you who wait for the Lord. Jesus Christ is living, though he died. In the name of Jesus, amen.